God has shown in the Bible, His approval with those who follow His will and His displeasure and wrath with those who refuse to worship Him in the way that He has directed. And God has always been clear about how He wants and desires to be worshiped. But you know, man's hard-headed, aren't we? I guess I'm the only one. Man's hard-headed, and we have not listened to how God wants to be worshiped. And there's this erroneous idea out in the world today that the main reason we attend worship is to get something out of the service, to get something out of the preacher, to get something out of the music. And rather than going there to give our worship to God, we really go there to get something instead of giving. Isn't that selfish? Isn't that our selfish motive? And it's the reason that people cannot be satisfied with the worship service because their emphasis is not on the proper object of worship. And that proper object is God. You see, people kind of want to do their own thing in the worship of the church, and they expect to receive something or to get something. And what the Bible has to say about worship for many people is of very little consequence as long as those people leave church and they feel good and they're happy. But I'm interested in seeing what God has said and how God wants us to direct how He is to be worshiped instead of how we might decide what we can get out of worship. How many times have you walked out of the church and you said, well, I didn't get anything out of that? Yeah, I have. Because we're here to get and not give. We're here to be a spectator. Boy, look what he's dressed in today. How awful was that? We're spectators. The United States, remember, has produced the most entertainment-oriented people the world has ever known. We have more forms of amusement than has ever been known to man, and we still want more. We're creating more. In our age, everything is designed to appeal to our emotions and to appeal to entertainment and to entertain us. Our pleasure-mad society gives little thought about pleasing God. Even in the house of God, even in the place of worship, have you considered this morning, God, how am I going to please you? Have that crossed your mind today? Have you walked in there and said, God, what am I going to give you today? How am I going to worship you today? What is it I'm going to give to you today, God? Have you done that this morning? You see, we seem to have forgotten our worship service is to bring honor. It is to bring glory. It is to bring praise to God. It is not to entertain ourselves. Much worship today is designed for nothing more than entertainment, to appeal to the emotions. And listen, when we have choirs to sing and we have concerts and we can turn on K-Love, are we really worshiping God or is it really entertainment? And I'm not condemning any of those things because all of those things are wonderful. But what is the purpose of those things? We have become spectators, church. We have become spectators of worship. Spectators that come on Sunday and we gather together and we sit down and we say, okay, Al Ray, let's sing. Okay, Billy, what have you got for me today? Should we be calling that worship? We should never in the church, in the house of God, ever become a spectator. Listen, church, there's only one spectator and it's not you. It's God. I think it's very disrespectful and demeaning to God to reduce our worship to some sort of entertainment, to some sort of emotional ride. Worship is not a spectator event. We dare not become spectators in the house of God, because in worship, it is God who is the spectator. People have our roles reversed. People expect divine will to conform to what seems right in their own mind and in their own eyes. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15 reminds us that the way of the fool is right, the right way in his own eyes. The emphasis seems to be, how can the worship service be made entertaining to please ourselves rather than pleasing God? And when people seek out some emotional high from worship and they don't get it, they leave disappointed. They're mad. And they start blaming someone. The world wants the service, the worship service, to be more what? More entertaining. And so we're failing to worship God in what the Bible teaches as in spirit and in truth. And where in the Bible can we go to see that our worship service is designed to please the worshiper? Where can you go to find that it's designed to please me? Well, it's not in there. You see, true worship's not designed for me. True worship is not designed for you and your emotions. That's why it's so important in the body of Christ that we understand we all worship differently. There's not a standard ritualistic way to worship. We all have different personalities. We all have different encounters with our God, and we all worship differently. And that's okay. It's okay to worship with your hands in the air. It's okay to worship on your knees. That's okay. It's how we encounter our God and how we worship. The desire to have that encounter, the desire to have that experience, is how we should come in this place, desiring what God has for me. You see, to desire to have an experience or an encounter along the lines of mysticism also gives little regard to what God says in the Bible. An example of acceptable and unacceptable worship is in the Old Testament. You can turn there with me now to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4 as one example this morning. Genesis chapter 4. I know you're wondering where the PowerPoint is. So am I. I was in All-Stars this week, coaching All-Stars, and I have no excuse. I forgot to do the PowerPoint. So I apologize, I forgot. Genesis chapter 4, an example of acceptable and unacceptable worship of Cain and Abel. Now let me get something clear. Cain and Abel both worship God, okay? Cain and Abel both worship God. Abel did it as God directed, and Cain tried to worship God however he pleased. All right, let's read. Chapter 4, verse 3. In the course of time, yours may say, and in the process of time, in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions, and the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. And the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why has your face fallen?" Another translation says, "Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering." Why did the Lord have respect for Abel's offering, and why did the Lord reject Cain's offering? Notice that Abel offered his sacrifice how? Somebody say it. By what? brought it by faith. He offered this sacrifice by faith. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Notice, Abel offered his sacrifice by faith, and Cain did not. Remember Romans 10:17. We've talked about it before. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith comes by the Word of God. And Abel offered his sacrifice by faith, or, in other words, Abel offered his sacrifice according to the will of God. And if we worship God by faith, then we're worshiping God by the Word of God, which means we worship God as God directs us to worship. Abel offered the firstborn of his flock by faith. And it was accepted because his worship was according to the instructions of God, by the Word of God, by faith. But Cain chose to ignore God's instruction. Cain chose the sacrifice of an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Cain chose to sacrifice to God whatever way he saw fit. Cain didn't offer his sacrifice according to God's instructions. So what did God do? God rejected his sacrifice of worship. Why? Because it wasn't by faith. Because it wasn't by the Word of God. Because it wasn't by the instructions in which God had given. And from this example, we should gather that our worship must be by faith. Our worship must be by the Word of God. Our worship must be God-instructed. Romans 14 and 23. For whatever is not from faith is sin. From whatever is not from faith is sin. Listen, if our worship is not by faith, then it's not by the Word of God, and so therefore it is sin. Romans 14:23 says, for whatever is not from faith is sin. So if our worship is not by faith, then it is not from the Word of God, then it is sin. It will also be rejected, just as Cain's was. It's a very serious matter when God rejects worship. It's a very serious matter when God rejects it. Many people accept from the Bible what they like, and they reject what they don't like, and they also add whatever they like in there. That's not Christianity. That's a religious anarchy. We do not have the right to believe as you please. We don't have that right. What we do have the right is to believe the Word of God. We have the right by faith to believe the Word of an Almighty God, and we must humbly submit to all the things that Jesus said. Anything taught or practiced by man in the field or in the name of religion that does not come from the Bible is false. Period. One cannot obey God without doing what God says to do. So when God says to do it, we do it. And we do it how God says to do it and for the reason in which God says to do it. And if we do in worship, if what we do in worship is not according to the Word of God, then we're doing it in vain. It's useless. What bearing does it have? Our worship to God requires commitment on our part. People in our world had rather worship Christ as a baby in a manger than worship Christ as a crucified Savior. You see, worshiping Christ as a baby in a manger requires no commitment. They feel they can put Jesus in a box. They can put that baby in a box and they can live the rest of the years as they please. Listen, but worshiping Christ as this crucified Savior requires something on my part. It requires a commitment. It requires a complete change of direction, a complete change of life, and a willingness to do exactly what He tells me to do, what He shows me to do, what He wants me to do, and what He desires for me to do. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. He who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Can you even put that in context? Can we even understand what he is telling us? He says, Billy, if you love Karen, or if you love Luke and Rachel more than you love me, then you're not worthy to have me. Well, I love Karen, and I love Luke and Rachel. I would take a bullet for them, wouldn't you take for your kids? And he says, if you don't love me more than that, you're not worthy of me. And when I read that and I think on that, you know what I say? Ouch. Ouch. Do I live my life? Am I committed in my life to Christ more than I am my kids? The Bible says you better be. It says you should be. You see, God and Christ must be the very first thing in our life, and this requires such a commitment. It requires a great commitment. It requires the fullest commitment. And when we get to that point, we understand then our worship is all about Him. It's not about those singing. It's not about those preaching. It's not even about those sitting around you. Your worship is personal. It is between you and God, not what is happening around you. It is your relationship with the one that is the most important person in your life. That is who you're worshiping. We spend time worshiping our spouse and worshiping our children, but do we spend time worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that is the highest of all high? Are we worshiping Him this morning? Just Him. No one in this place should be a spectator. There's only one of those. And the Lord is sitting up high this morning, and He's looking down on Second Baptist Church, for He is the spectator. He is the receiver of all glory and honor. He is the receiver of all praise. Are we giving Him what He is here to receive? Church, can we call today worship? Can we call what we have done this morning worship? Can in our own hearts, can we call out the worship of an almighty God? Are we here this morning as the spectator? Are we here this morning to gain something instead of to give? Only you can answer that. Only I can answer that in my own heart. But what if on Sundays we walk out of here and God rejects our worship? Why would He do that? Because it was a selfish mean in which we were here. Because we were here for ourselves. We were here to get and not to give. You see, when we walk in a place to worship an almighty God, we are here to give. To give praise and honor to Him. I mean, it truly is not about me and you. That's not why we're here. Everybody looks beautiful today, but it's truly not about what you wear. It's truly about not where you sit. It's truly not about what Sunday school class you're in. It's truly not about who you sit by every Sunday. It's truly not about where you go eat lunch every Sunday. It is about Jesus Christ. That's all. and where He is in your life. Are you worshiping Him today? Is He at the fullest commitment level in your life today? Could you answer that today? That you love Him more than anything in your life right now? Could you say yes? I love Him more than my kids. I love Him more than my money. I love Him more than my job. I love Him more than my wife. He is number one in my life. And so therefore, since He's number one, I give Him all the praise and all the honor and all the worship. And Billy, that's why I'm here this morning. I'm here this morning to sing to Him, to praise Him, to thank Him, to honor Him for being who He is, for doing exactly what He said He would do, so that I can stand upon the promises that He's given to me. That's why I'm here this morning. Did you give something today? Have you given something? Will you give something before you leave? I pray you will. My prayer is that we would all give something today. Before we walk out, we would give something. You see, I believe that we've been spectating too long in the house of God. We're spectators. We expect to be fed. And we need to start giving in worship. We need to start giving in worship. We need to start giving in worship. It's time to commit that we will worship in spirit and in truth. You see, our motto at Second Baptist Church should be, all that we do. Well, that's a big word, all, isn't it? But shouldn't it be that? All that we do. From cooking hot dogs, to preaching, to vacation Bible school, to this trip to Toronto, to sitting bedside by one of our fellowship. All that we do, you know why we should do it? It should be our motto. We do it to magnify. We do it to praise. We do it to honor. We do it to glorify. We do it to point people to Christ, Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. It's not about us. Our commitment level is that we love You so much more than anything in this world, that all that we do at Second Baptist Church, everything that we do is to magnify who the Lord Jesus Christ is in our life. And if we're doing it for any other reason, God will not accept it. If you're doing it to get seen, if you're doing it for a pat on the back, if you're doing it because you're on a committee, God's not accepting that worship. He's accepting it because you're doing it to praise and magnify Him. So as we go to this time of invitation this morning, I would like you to ask yourself, what am I giving in our worship? I had to get on my knees this week and ask forgiveness for walking in a worship service to get. And maybe you're there this morning. You say, Billy, I've been walking in ready to get something for years, and it's obvious you're not going to give me anything. Amen, I'm not. And maybe you need to ask forgiveness for that and start giving. Start giving to the Lord. Father God, thank You for Your word this morning. And Father, I so dearly pray that everyone in this place would have something to offer, to give to You today before they leave. That, Father, we would not be a spectator any longer. That You're the spectator. And we're here to worship You and praise You. And Father, that we would be the fullest commitment to who You are. And we would love You more than anything on this earth. And Father, I pray that we would make those commitments in our own heart. and that we would change our attitude of thinking of what fellowship and church is and what worship really means. And that we would be here to give. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word. By faith. By faith in the word of God. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me this morning?